McShane Bible Study, day 347 and 348, and we are starting in 2 Chronicles 14 through 16. And this is the story of Asa. It worked out well that we're doing these days together, huh? So Asa, in his early life, is perhaps the best king of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's see, verse 5. This is 2 Chronicles 14:5. He also took out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the incense altars, and the kingdom had rest under him. Was he the only king that removed the high places? He really went to great efforts to make sure that his entire king was worshiping the Lord and only the Lord, right? 7.
His entire kingdom.
His entire kingdom, yes. I did say in a later chapter that the high places weren't removed from Israel, but he was not king of Israel, right? He removed it from places around, I think it even mentioned places that weren't even in his kingdom, in Judah and Benjamin. 7. And he said to Judah, "Let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us peace on every side." So they built and prospered. And then this massive army of Ethiopians comes up against them, right? And then he turns to the Lord for protection, right? And the Lord helps them defeat this army that's twice as big as them, right? And then we go to 15, and the Spirit of God comes on this guy, Azariah, a prophet, and he went out to, verse 2, this is 15:2, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you. While you are with him, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when in their distress," I think this is such a great word for today, Weston. "For a long time, they were without teaching priest and without law. But when in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. In those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in. For great disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the land. They were broken in pieces. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city. For God troubled them with every sort of distress. But you take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." So Asa heard this, and he was really built up. And he's like, all right, we're going to do it even more. And he went further out. So certain cities in the hill country of Ephraim, which was part of Israel, he took, and he's taken down high places there, right? I mean, again, it says he didn't take down all the high places in all of Israel. But then we see people from Judah and Benjamin, Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon. These were people that were the people of God, right? Mm-hmm. But the way, the country that they were under, the leaders they were under had turned away from following God. Mm-hmm. So they left those ways and they came back to the true king who's truly following God in the way that he's supposed to, right? Mm-hmm. Again, this is a beautiful picture. Verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul, but that whoever would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. So we see a cleansing of the people of God, right? I mean, it's kind of brutal. We look at death, you know, but we see the same thing with Jesus and Paul and their teaching of, like, and Peter, like in the new church, having a cleansed, purified people. Not necessarily, although Peter, the Lord actually killed a couple people through Peter, right? For not being pure. But generally, it just means having them not be a part of the fellowship, right? Now, so purity is a test of the heart, right? Are we trying to be pure, but we're still struggling? You know, is our desire to come closer, that's where leadership takes wisdom and discernment. Is the Lord in this person being transformed, or is this person in complete rebellion about their own ideas and just causing disturbance for the body of Christ. Sick is the right word. It's kind of minor for that, but it's messing up my my speaking here. 15, and all Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and had sought him with their whole desire, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. So again, it's the same picture we have over and over and over again through the Bible, right? The people of God seeking their Lord, walking in his ways, and him blessing them. But then, chapter 16, Asa starts turning away. He, as we just discussed, you had a great question. The short version of my answer was he got puffed up in pride and considered himself blessed and started going his own way, right? Israel attacks him, and instead of seeking the Lord for protection, and it's interesting, Israel had been, were a people of God, right? These were close relatives of them. And so maybe, I'm just guessing here, I'm just throwing something out here, but I see an interesting parallel. Maybe he felt like because of that, he couldn't seek the Lord to stand by them. And therefore, he needed to seek his own strength, his own ideas, an outside helper, which in this case was Ben-Hadad of Syria, right? But whatever the case, he didn't stand true to the way of God, and he went outside. And what happened? Verse 5, and when Baasha heard of it, he stopped building Ramah and let his work cease. And then they went and took the stuff that he'd been building in Ramah against them, right? So the immediate effect is it looked like, haha, my plan worked. You see that? There's not always immediate consequences to us turning away from God. God sometimes works in very long ways, but he had left the blessing, right? Mm-hmm. And then 7, at that time, Hanani, the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said, because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. He mentions Ethiopia. You defeated a much greater army when you depended on God. 9, this is kind of a famous line. It might be repeated elsewhere. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless. God is looking throughout the world. Who will live for me and my purposes? Those are the ones I will bless and build up, right? Those whose heart is blameless toward him, you have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. And then he turns angry and he starts hurting his own people, right? And he gets sick in his old life. His feet have disease, and that's the end of Asa. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap up in Revelation 4 and 5. I forgot the family has an early outing today, so we will finish this. So Revelation 4 is that John is taken up into heaven. So he sees the throne room, right? And it's spectacular. It's wonderful. God is glorified by the living creatures, by the elders. I love reading that every time. It's just magnificent. But then it goes into Revelation 5. And again, I'm trying to speak to different things than we talked about last time. Verse 2 says, and I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open it, right? And he's weeping loudly because there's no one. It's so important that this be opened and there's no one. 5, and one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. So Jesus is the only one able to do this thing, to make mankind able to fulfill the purpose of God, right? Mm-hmm. Every one of us throughout all of history was unable to do it, right? But Jesus overcame the world. 6, and between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. So here we have Jesus who overcame the world and the enemy by fully obeying God to the point of being the sacrifice for all of us, right? And then he was able to take the scroll because of his overcoming, because of his obedience. 8, and when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So these elders are collecting all the prayers of the saints, and they're laying them down before Jesus, right? 9, and they sang a new song. So God is doing something new here, right? Mm-hmm. What is the new thing God is doing? Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. So Jesus has grabbed hold of a people, made them his, right? From every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Well, we see the fulfillment of God's purpose and plan, right? A kingdom on earth of priests and kings, the order of Melchizedek, right? Mm-hmm. We see God's order reigning on earth. It goes on, and let's see. Then I looked and I heard this. We'll end it there. I remember there was something. Ever since the phone updated, the way it highlights is messed up now. But I don't remember where I saw that mess up happen. Anyways, okay, sorry. I was looking forward to reading Haggai 2. I saw that was next. But we're calling it a day, and we will pick up on what we missed tomorrow. God bless you.
God bless you.